On this episode of Still Loading.
Help me! He's stealing my brain!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I am your host, Josh Koval, and we are back with another Captain N episode, an N-isode, if you will. It is Season 2, Episode 2. But, of course, my co-host with the mo-host for the Captain N series, Dexter Morrill, is here. Dexter, how are you doing?
Hey, everybody, it's me. I am Captain into this and ready to... go. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, you don't have to apologize. It's episode is something. This episode is very much something. I don't think I have ever seen an episode off the rails so far as much as this episode is. This episode is bonkers. Am I right? Like, is this one of the strangest ones you think?
This one felt the most like I blinked and missed something, like, yeah. Multiple times. I mean, that's a given with every episode of Captain N. It happens at least once every Captain N episode. But this one, I felt like it happened a lot. If I looked away for a second, or if I blinked for a second, and then I'd be like, wait, why are we surfing on trees?
that is... You know, we always start off the episodes with, what is our first observation about this episode? That's one of them for me. I couldn't pick one, to be honest. There is so much that is just insane. Like, I was in my notes, I wrote down, this episode has it all. There's a weird rock song montage while fighting Donkey Kong. There is a weird monkey family that have hats and weird hair. There's Donkey Kong with makeup. There's people riding islands. Like, they're jet skis, and they just play it off as, this is normal. This is fine. This is how, you know, the world works. I have never been so amused and concerned for an episode all at the same time.
Well, this proved to me, because now it's happened without our good friend Sir Jeffrey Scott writing, please come on the show, is people riding things like jet skis that are not jet skis. Like, the trend continues. So either they're really big fans of what Jeffrey set up in the first season, or people just love jet skis at this time.
They also brought back What a Concept.
Yes, I noticed that too.
It's the first time we've heard it in like 10 episodes or something like that.
Yes. The note I made at the top of my, or the thing with asterisks I put at the top of my notes, it's the first time I've actually made a note for how I wanted to answer your question, because I always usually come up with it off the cuff. Like, what's the thing that stuck out to me? Because I figure that's the best way to answer that kind of question. But I did not want to forget. My thing for this episode is peak Mother Brain performance from Levi Stubbs. This was like,
yes,
Levi Stubbs. If you're looking for clips,
chewing the animated scenery. This episode is insane. The thing that stuck out to me in this was, I guess if I had to choose one out of all that stuff that I mentioned, was just Mother Brain. So the basic premise of this episode, and I'm only explaining this now so that way my big observation makes sense to those who haven't seen the episode yet. The main story of this episode is that Mother Brain, Game Boy, and Donkey Kong all get their brains swapped in each other's bodies. So Mother Brain is in Donkey Kong's body, Donkey Kong is in Game Boy's body, and Game Boy is in Mother Brain's body. And when Mother Brain goes into Donkey Kong, they put makeup on her, and it's one of the strangest looks. Was like, you don't see anything the first time, and then the next shot you actually see like a little bit of eye makeup. It's very bizarre, and it's very uncomfortable seeing Donkey Kong in like a bikini or like, it's not really a bikini, it's like a tankini or whatever it's called.
I took that as, and I guess we'll get to it, but I took that as Princess Lana talking to Mother Brain about getting dressed up.
I think that's what it was supposed to be. I think Lana was supposed to like somehow befriend, like give her like tutorials on how to be more princessy or something like that, or more royal, but they don't actually ever say it. Like they Lana in the YouTube, or what's at least uploaded to YouTube, and I'm assuming it's the what exactly would be on the DVD or what aired, because so far everything has been, other than obviously the music, because, you know, licensing rights, but they they cut off, like Lana is talking about how she can't stand up to Mother Brain for, I will explain why in a second, and then it just cuts like mid sentence, like she's in the middle of a sentence and it just like fades out, and it cuts back, and then you don't know what they've talked about. But let's dive into this. Let's really start off with the beginning of this episode. The beginning of this episode, you see the end team visiting Congoland, and it is specifically, I forget what the name of the they visit like a tribe in Congoland. Like there's a group of people.
Plentiful.
That's what it's called. And it's like Prince Plenty, I think, was the ruler of that kingdom. And he invites Princess Lana and the end team for reasons, just to hang out. They don't really explain why. That was fine to me. But the opening line is basically everyone's like bowing down to Princess Lana because she, you know, it's royalty who's coming there. And Kevin goes, man, this is kind of cool seeing everyone bow down. And Simon's like, yeah, that's what basically he implies, like that's what being royalty is all about. And Lana goes, that's not all it's about, Simon. And he goes, it's not. But then they never say what it is actually about. They never actually go into any detail as to like what it means to be royal. And I'm assuming it's one of the things that's cut off, because like Lana in this episode, more than any other, she has a lot more agency. Like she is the one that kind of creates the plan to like fix the situation and get everyone back in the right bodies. She also is the one that distracts Donkey Kong / Mother Brain. But she was also
the MacGuffin for Mother Brain too, because that's the body that Mother Brain actually wanted.
Yes, it's the body that Mother Brain actually wants. So while they're visiting, you know, Plentiful, that's when Mother Brain, of course, as she always is, she's spying on them. And she wonders, like, why does Princess Lana get this royal reception? I should be the one that gets this royal reception because I'm Mother Brain. And she has a Metroid mirror on the wall.
And Metroid mirror is back too. Another Metroid mirror, Jeffrey Scott creation.
I love Metroid mirror.
I also think I don't have like an official tally, but I was like, this is also like the third time that the mirrors had a different voice too.
Is it?
I think it was a male voice in one episode, and I think it was a female in another episode, and then I think this is a completely new voice again.
Huh. Well, I'd have to go back and watch some of the others again to see what the voices are. But the logic that Metroid Mirror comes up with is that the reason why she, like Mother Brain, doesn't get this royal reception is because she doesn't have a body. Of course, that's logical. She can't be royalty if she doesn't have a body for some reason or another. So she wants to come up with like this perfect body, and Metroid Mirror pretty much just like creates Princess Lana again. So there's two things that happen kind of simultaneously. I forget the order in which they cut back and forth between the two. On Mother Brain's side, you see Dr. Wily, which, funny, I had the closed caption on, and since no one actually wrote the closed captions, it's all machine generated. It was Dr. Wally. Dr. Wally, I thought that was kind of humorous. Dr. Wily creates this machine that lets you swap brains, and so they test it out on King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. And it actually had a pretty good joke. Do you remember this scene?
Yes. No, I was hoping that would stick through the whole episode, that the two of them would be in each other's bodies, and that would be a source of humor for the rest of the episode. But it's just this one gag where Eggplant Wizard said, or it's King Hippo in the wizard's body. He's like, hey, you stole my brain or whatever. And
get out of my body. Otherwise, I'm going to duke you, is what he says. He's not put up your dukes. I'm going to duke you.
Yeah. And then Eggplant Wizard from King Hippo's body is like, you're in my body. I didn't steal your brain. And he's like, by the way, there's a lot of room in here. And then like it starts echoing as he's talking, which was like the mechanics of that. I'm not sure how that works, but that was kind of a good gag.
I like that a lot. There was a lot of dialogue from specifically from Mother Brain's team that it was very hard to understand what they were saying. When Mother Brain finds out that she needs a body, she says, of course, I need a, I forget exactly what she says, but it's like, I need legs to do this, something to do that, and then teeth to grind with. Like, it's all this like really random arbitrary like body parts where it's like, I need all of these in order to be royalty. But the way that Levi Stubbs delivers the line, I don't understand what the hell he's saying. I've rewatched the scene 5 or 6, probably actually 10 times, trying to understand what they're saying. It's not like playing it on slow was going to help. It's just going to make it harder.
Yeah, no, I was not kidding at the beginning. Levi Stubbs is like, I'm not saying the actor is on drugs, but the performance is. Like, it's on like steroids. It's like peak. It's like someone poked Levi Stubbs with a fork before like delivering these lines. He's like, argh! Full on Mother Brain, and I love it.
Yeah.
I do want to double back for a couple of things. I was going to say that Prince Plenty could have been the dry run for Captain Planet, the character design. He's blue skin, green mullet. I was digging that. Also a Deke cartoon. Maybe a dry run for Captain Planet. Because, of course, Captain N did it first. We got to keep that going. And also the fact that Mother Brain wanted a body reminded me a lot as a Ninja Turtle fan of Krang wanting a body, like that being a storyline in Ninja Turtles. And then last thing is when Mother Brain's talking about getting a body, they cut to King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard like doing sexy poses. And I could not stop. I had to like pause my episode, my YouTube player, because I was like, I was laughing too hard. So if I can, I might make that the thumbnail is sexy pose, Eggplant Wizard and Hippo, King Hippo.
Either that or the Monkey Family, which we'll get to. Yeah. The Monkey Family would also be a good thumbnail choice.
They would.
So while that's all happening with King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard and Mother Brain, them, you know, Mother Brain wants to basically swap bodies with Lana so she can be a princess instead of Lana. And over on the Plentiful, the City of Plentiful, or whatever it is, City of Plenty, they, you know, the N team is over there enjoying like performances from these monkeys with like Dragon Ball Z hair. It was very strange. They were doing these performances and they clearly had like Super Saiyan hair. And they hear Donkey Kong show up and they're about to go fight him, and the prince of Prince Plenty is like, no, we actually get along with Donkey Kong, like we're friends. And then it finds out, like, I thought this was so weird, like, oh no, we're, you know, we're at peace with Donkey Kong, everything's okay. They're just feeding him, you know, mountains of food at the, I'm like, that's not peace, that's appeasement. You are literally just appeasing this giant, it's maybe no different than
it was like a Bug's Life when they're feeding the grasshoppers. Like, yes, that's what it reminds me of.
It's very much like that. And they have this whole system where it's there's a lot of random like floating water. Like the rivers just float in the air in Congo Land. And I don't know why that is. I kind of like that design, like from a whimsical, fantastical point of view, but it is still very strange. So they have this floating river that's going into a water wheel, which then causes this conveyor belt to like with like troughs on it filled with fruit to get to go up. And that's how they get the food to Donkey Kong. And a monkey comes up, takes a single banana off of a trough. And all of a sudden the guy goes, the conveyor belt's gone haywire. And it starts speeding up and pelting Donkey Kong in the face with all this fruit. And Donkey Kong gets mad and starts smashing the town. He goes full Hulk mode and starts smashing the town. And that's when, you know, the N team comes in, steps in, they step up, and they're trying to take down, you know, stop Donkey Kong from doing all this. But then the weirdest, like, rock montage music comes in. It's the lyrics are just like, having a ball. That's all it is. We're having a ball. It's rockabilly.
Yes, that the monkey with the Super Saiyan hair. I also think it was reminiscent. I don't know if they were big yet. I got to look at when magic gem trolls, you know, like with the little magic gem in their stomach and the big That's what the hair reminded me of as well. Those troll dolls from the 90s.
Yes, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
I don't know why I'm saying from the 90s, because they brought them back with the movie, like the DreamWorks movies. So I guess it's not that old of a reference anymore. But the monkey, when they're filling the troughs, is in the background frozen with like this really dumb face that also made me laugh. I was staring at it like, what? Why is that monkey just staring with like a weird O face? Well, obviously this was because he was going to jump and grab a banana. And I think they were implying that he hit the switch that made it go faster. And then when they try to stop it, the switch breaks. And like you said, mm-hmm. it's like pelting Donkey Kong in the face with all the fruit. But yeah. Oh, and when they saw the machine with the conveyor belt feeding Donkey Kong is when we got the recurring "what a concept" from Kevin. Yeah, feeding DK.
Oh, sorry, Kevin. I almost forgot that. we got that in before, under the wire. What were you saying?
I was gonna say I thought that the song that they used, which yeah, it was like really serious. They're saving this town from like the collapsing walls. They save a baby from being crushed and all this stuff, but they're playing what sounds like Shake, Rattle, and Roll is what it sounded like. Shake, Rattle, and Roll. From if you've seen the Clue movie, it's in the credits of mm-hmm. that movie. But that's what it sounded like. And I was like, this is a fun little jaunty song, but like people might be dying. And Donkey Kong's on a rampage. But I guess that. So I wonder if Shake, Rattle, and Roll, like, I feel like Shake, Rattle, and Roll would have fit there if it wasn't a licensed song. So I'm wondering if they're like, hey, let's make up our own version of it.
I think that's kind of what they've been doing, because they did, remember they did like a fake
Monster Mash.
Yeah, they did a fake Monster Mash last time. So I think that's just what they're doing. Like they're doing these strange like parodies of actual songs. I don't get it. I really don't get it. So Mother Brain is, you know, coming to Congo Land with her mind swap device while all this is happening, and Donkey Kong loses his shit. I always thought this was funny. So as they're fighting everything and like, you know, as they're knocking away all the different logs that Donkey Kong has like busted apart, the way Game Boy gets rid of them is that a fist comes out of his screen, like this green fist stretches his screen out and he's just going, punches him away. And Donkey Kong picks him up and takes him away for reasons. And then he picks Mother Brain up for reasons, but Mother Brain is already wearing the little head, like the brain swapper. And this is actually a moment I was telling you off mic that I thought the music in this episode was overall really good. And the music that's happening right here, like when King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are hugging a tree and they see they need to find a way to get Mother Brain out of Donkey Kong's clutches, and they throw a coconut. And of course, by that time, the brain swapper, instead of swapping both of, there's like two suction cup cords that are supposed to go on either side, like onto the temples of the person that is being switched with. So the person who's wearing the helmet get swapped with the person who's wearing both suction cups. Well, in this instance, one suction cup goes on to Donkey Kong and the other suction cup goes on to Game Boy. And that's why all three of them swap brains, which is funny because if you only needed one suction cup this whole time to swap brains, why would he design two into it? Yeah. You know, like it's very weird. But I digress. So King Hippo is trying to like save Mother Brain. So he chucks a coconut over in the direction and it ends up just hitting the button. It's actually like a plunger. It hits the plunger, pushes the lever down and causes the brain swap to happen. So now Mother Brain is inside Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong is inside Game Boy and Game Boy is inside Mother Brain. And Donkey Kong as Game Boy just jumps off and it's like, fuck this, I'm out of here. Then Mother Brain has like a Game Boy circuit board inside of like Mother Brain's bulb. That's like, that's the only real difference.
Yeah.
And then Mother Brain as DK just speaks like Mother Brain.
They didn't set up that there's going to be any physical changes, but then all of a sudden, yeah, like Donkey Kong has like coded female stuff now that Mother mm-hmm. Brain's in, and Game Boy's chip board is there instead of Mother Brain's brain. And then they didn't really do anything to Donkey Kong. I was hoping they would give him like a pixelated Donkey Kong face on the screen. That would have been cool. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. But we did get my favorite delivery from Mother Brain during this scene, where Mother Brain shouts, "Stop, thief! He's stealing my brain!"
I love everything about this episode. I'm going to be honest. Like, it's just, it's bonkers. And did it go by really fast to you? Like, did this episode just feel really short?
It did. It did. I did stop to get a, like, paused to get a drink in the middle, and then I came back. And then when it ended, I was like, did I fast forward somewhere by accident? That felt really fast.
It's only like 3 minutes shorter than most other episodes, but I actually kind of think that means it's as dumb as the plot is, it's kind of well paced for an episode. Like, you never really get bored. There's always something that's happening. And I think that kind of lends to what we were saying. Like, it's kind of frenetic. Like, this episode is just weird and wild and insane, and it just kind of works. Because after, you know, the three people get their brains swapped and they're all over the place, the end team has to split up and get everyone back together so they can switch their brains back. Princess Lana develops a plan and says, you know, Kevin and Simon are going to go get Game Boy, you know, Donkey Kong and Game Boy's body back. Kid Icarus and Mega Man are going to get Game Boy and Mother Brain's body back. And then Lana is going to distract Mother Brain and Donkey Kong's body, so that way she doesn't, you know, just run away or this and that. So that's the point we were mentioning before, is like, this is where some things feel like they were cut, because there's no reason for Donkey Kong to stay, or Mother Brain slash Donkey Kong to stay. But she does, because Lana convinces her to put makeup on. It's never shown why. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But like you said, there was that abrupt cut when they're in the middle of a conversation and then it cuts. And then when it comes back, Mother Brain slash Donkey Kong, don't they call her like Mother Kong or something like that? They start changing their names.
Yeah, they call her Mother Kong or something like that.
So yeah, Mother Kong shows up dressed, you know, coated very feminine and with makeup. And I think at one point picks up a little like flowery tree and uses it to like dab makeup on the giant monkey face.
Well, when she first comes out with all the makeup on, King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are trying not to laugh because she looks so ridiculous. And Princess Lana has to be like, "She looks great, doesn't she, guys? Like, doesn't she look great?" And they're like, "Yes, of course, yes." But so while Lana's distracting Mother Brain, I love the scene of Simon and Kevin going after Game Boy, because they chase Game Boy into the jungle. They see Donkey Kong inside a Game Boy. They see Donkey Kong slash Game Boy. I'll just refer to it as the bodies for now, just so that way it's not as confusing. So Game Boy is there. DKGB is there. Sorry. The KGB, DKGB. what if that was like a thing, like Donkey Kong inside Game Boy became like a mafioso and it's the DKGB?
I'm all for this. Yes.
All right.
Jeffrey Scott would have written that joke, I think.
Oh, 100%. No offense to this episode's writers, David Ehrman and Sean Roche, who also only show up one more time in the series. They show up in season 3. So far, season 2 has three different writers. Dorothy Middleton wrote the first episode, Game Boy, which we covered last month, which actually funny, at the time of this recording, is coming out later today. Hey. So we are recording this exactly on the date that the last month's episode airs. This episode is episode 2, Queen of Apes, was written by David Ehrman and Sean Roche. And then next month's episode is written by Rick Merwin. And I don't know if he shows up later. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. David Ehrman and Sean Roche appear later on this season. So they don't appear at all in the third season. They only show up twice.
And when they showed up, they must have been like, "Have you guys done a body swap episode yet? Okay, we'll do that."
And Rick Merwin.
No, we have done amnesia. And they're like, Damn, we were going to do Amnesia. Okay, we'll do Body Swap instead.
Every soap opera trope you can think of. That's what these writers come in. Rick Merwin only shows up once, and that'll be next month's episode. But anyway, so this is all happening. Simon and Kevin are going after Game Boy / DK, the KGB. and they see him hanging out with a family of monkeys, a family of gorillas, apes. I don't know exactly what you would call them.
Primates.
And it's one of the wildest character designs I've ever seen, because all the monkeys are either wearing hats. If they're a woman, it's like got a beehive haircut. Like it's like it's getting ready for a perm. There's rollers in it and everything. It's one of the strangest choices I've ever seen with animation. Like these things look like they're meant to be big characters, but there's like nothing. They don't say anything. They don't even do anything. Like you would think if they made them this visually interesting that, you know, maybe they talk or maybe they offer some semblance of the plot more than they do. Maybe they'll show up later this season. Who knows? But as of right now, they aren't. And actually there is another episode later on this season that features Donkey Kong, because there's an episode called, where are you at, Lost City of Congo Land, which I'm kind of excited for. That's not till episode 6, so we're a couple months away from that still. But I don't understand this design choice. And so then to escape with Game Boy, Kevin uses his freeze ability, which literally just his power pistol or his power zapper shoots out Tetris shaped ice blocks, and they build a little like square igloo that freezes them there, and that's it. What are your thoughts on this scene though, Dex?
I was ready to put down money right then and there while watching this episode that the guys from Rare were watching this and they're like, let's make a Donkey Kong game with all kinds of weird Donkey Kong designs. Because like I immediately thought of like Cranky Kong and Dixie Kong, and with all the strange designs that they have, and I could see that totally being their sense of humor, like looking at these and being like, that's hilarious. Let's make a game. I'm not going to put money down, but at the time I was like, that's it. Captain N started it. But yeah. I actually enjoyed the ice beam, which was, I'm guessing, I don't know if they did that on purpose, a Metroid reference, but it did not shoot. But it did not shoot like Samus's ice beam. Like you said, it was Tetris blocks, and I was like,
yeah, it's really weird.
I kind of like that visual, but I don't know why you wouldn't just jump away when the one block comes by.
Well, I don't know why it has to be blocks. Why can't he just freeze them into an ice cube? Like the whole thing, like, he doesn't need to build them into an igloo. It's very weird.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of combination. And he had like a little switch, like a little dial on the side of his zapper. And I was like, okay, I'd like that to come back for some more stuff later, but I doubt that it will.
Probably not. So while this is happening, Kid Icarus and Mega Man are now tracking down Game Boy inside a Mother Brain's body, and their rescue attempt is a lot less interesting. It's pretty much they all fall from the sky, and Kid Icarus goes, I hope that my like plant growth arrow or whatever it's called is in season. And then he shoots it and it lands on this plant, and the plant grows super high so it catches them, so they don't die. And that's pretty much it. They end up back at the base of the mountain where Donkey Kong / Mother Brain is at shortly after. You don't see how they really get there.
Can I also ask, speaking of not knowing how they get there, how did the jet ski personal islands, like, I know we that they not, were...
I was actually thinking about this just now. We didn't even bring up when Lana formulates this plan. They are all riding these tiny little like 3-foot diameter islands with
trees.
Palm trees on, with a palm tree on it. And they're holding onto the palm tree. And Kevin says, I knew it. These work just like jet skis back home. Tilt forward to go to this, tilt back to do that type of thing.
Right. So it does just come out of nowhere.
No, yeah, completely out of nowhere. if this was more visually interesting, I would say we should do this as a thumbnail, because the idea of this, of not explaining where these islands come from and they can just work as jet skis because reasons, that's hilarious to me. But yeah, that would mean that,
for Kevin to be like, I knew it. Yeah, this
is- yeah, I knew it. Like, this episode, more than almost any other one, really seems like they had a lot more animated and written. And then during the final cut, they're like, we can't have it be this long. You got to start cutting shit out. And so they just cut out a whole bunch of stuff that would have really helped, in all honesty. It would have been really nice to see, but of course they don't show it. So it's very confusing and misleading. Between this, between Lana not being able to finish her sentence, between not seeing how Mega Man and Kid Icarus get back to the mountain where everything starts, it's just all very strange. At least with like Kevin and Simon, when they rescue Game Boy / DK, DKGB, when they rescue DKGB, they at least, like, you see them running off into the woods, so you at least have an idea of like, okay, that's how they got back to Mother Brain and where the mountain is at. And because at this point, while they're all doing this, Mother Brain inside of Donkey Kong, instead of asking for fruit as tribute, she's asking for gold and riches and all this other stuff. And you see them, her getting a whole pile of money, even though Princess Lana tells the villagers, like, that's not Donkey Kong, that's, you know, Donkey Queen or something like that. I don't know why she's so nervous to tell them the truth. Like, she doesn't want to tell them that the brains have been swapped, and I don't know why. Like, would they not believe it? Is there some, like, there's no reason for her to keep that secret from the villagers.
She doesn't want them to panic.
Yeah. That might be it. Make sense.
But when you know, because they're just like, they were shoveling all that fruit, they're shoveling a lot of like gold and riches, and like the people were complaining that they're having to give up all their riches and everything. In the end of the episode, like when they're gathering all of it into like one big pile, I was like, I hope everybody kept track of what they gave, because at the end of the episode, like, nobody's upset that, like, wait, how much money did I put in? Like, there was no dispersal of the money back to the people at the end.
And that we saw, at least.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually pretty much, we're getting close to the end of the episode, because it really goes by fast. Like, it's a very clear plot. Like, surprisingly enough, it's a very straightforward plot. There's just a lot of insane shit happening all at the same time. So everyone converges back to the mountain where Mother Brain's at, and for some reason, this is one of the strangest things. There's like these floating, like, rivers of water, and that's where they shoot around on these palm tree island jet skis, and they're just floating in midair. It's very strange. But to get back to the top of the mountain, there's a random like minecart track, which Mega Man is pushing Mother Brain's that's not DKGB, it would be Mother Brain and Game Boy. So what would be like
Game Brain?
Mother Boy? It doesn't work as much. Mobo, Mother Boy. But they're pushing up Mobo up the mountain, and Mother Brain, DK / Mother Brain, sees this happening and says, well, you can't stop me, and decides to, like, pick up the track and whip it, use it like a whip, so that way it launches them actually up closer to her. It's not the smartest idea in a nutshell. So Princess Lana is actually being held by Donkey Kong right now. They also bring Game Boy back, so they all show up. Sorry, they bring DKGB back, so they all show up in a weird, I don't understand how exactly they're able to get the suction cups attached to everyone again. But they do. Princess Lana hits the plunger, and they switch back. Sorry, what are you going to say, Dex?
I was going to say, you missed it. We actually got, as long as Donkey Kong's been on this show, we actually got legitimate Donkey Kong reference, as barrels were thrown at
Yes, you're right.
And they had to avoid them as they climbed the mountain. I forgot about that. I actually enjoyed how each character dealt with the barrels in their own character specific way. So I appreciated that as well. So of course, you know, Kevin is zapping the barrels. Simon is whipping the barrels, and Kid Icarus is shooting arrows that are turning them into bubbles, I think is what it is. But They're all dealing, and even I even liked how Duke, they included Duke in the action, is kind of like running across the barrels.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, I completely forgot about it. Yeah, it was a good Game Boy reference, or sorry, Donkey Kong reference, because they, like, because Donkey Kong or Mother Brain slash Donkey Kong is the one throwing the barrels down. So it's a really smart reference, and it works really well in this scenario. And they get up to the top, they get their bodies all swapped back, and I really feel like, hold on, I need to check my notes, because I feel like we're at the end of the episode and we're only like 35 minutes into recording. Like, I, for an episode that I says there was so much in it, like, it feels like we really went straight through everything. Let me see if there's anything. I was
hoping that they were going to have to swap again, because with three people, like, we could have gotten Mother Brain inside of Game Boy's body. We could have gotten Game Boy inside of Donkey Kong, and then Donkey Kong inside of Mother Brain. That would have been fun to see them all shift one more time before getting back to normal.
Yeah. One note that I did have, when they're all getting back together, when they're bringing everyone back together to get their brains fixed and swapped back to normal, when Donkey Kong slash Mother Brain whips the minecart tracks, and it, you know, it causes a ripple effect, causes a wave effect on the tracks, you know, because it's a cartoon, and it launches Mother Brain's body slash Donk slash Game Boy up into the air. Simon goes, "Not if I have anything to do with it," and whips and like lassos the Mother Brain's body, but she's clearly like a football field away at the time, and I'm like, "How the fuck did you do that? How did you that your whip's not that long?"
He just picked up a lot of those power ups where it gets Simon's whip longer and longer and longer.
That would have been actually really cool if he like would have found like that power up and just like ate it or something, even though it would have made no sense. And then he's like, "All right, my whip's long enough now, giggity," and and launches it up there. The brains get switched back though, and the one of the last things that I found like super funny with this was they Mother Brain lands on the tracks back, so everyone's gets switched back. Mother Brain's in her own body, they're all in their own respective bodies. Mother Brain lands on the track and starts going forward, and she goes down a hill then up a hill and launches off like straight out of Team Rocket from Pokemon, like blasts off at the speed of light off into the distance. And then what made me laugh was King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are like, "Hold on, Mother Brain, we're right behind you." And they just yeet themselves off into the distance as well. I just found the idea of just like her henchman just going blindly into like off into the distance. Like, who knows what would have happened? They should be dead from that fall.
Yes, I felt bad for King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard in this one, because even before they even did the body swap, when Donkey Kong originally grabbed Mother Brain, she was driving on like a giant speedboat, which I thought was hilarious, that like her big tank on this speedboat. And when Donkey Kong did pick her up off the speedboat, she was towing King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, and they like slingshot, like, and that's what causes them to get like thrown into the woods in the beginning, to even like have the coconut to throw later on. But I thought that I enjoyed that. That gag. So they get launched again here at the end.
No, it's one thing we also didn't bring up that I meant to. The look of the tribe, like the villagers themselves.
Yes.
They were very strange looking. I kind of got almost like some DBZ vibes to it. Did you see that as well? Like, did you kind of get that?
I did. When they first came on, I was like, is this going to be offensive? Because I was like, I was very worried whenever
if they're going for like, I don't know. It could be, maybe, but they don't really, the reason I don't think it is because they don't really, it's not like they make them a specific from a, like a tribe from a specific country. So they can't really play off of any specific stereotypes. And they're blue people with like crazy wacky hair. The prince is wearing parachute pants that are like, it's a onesie though. So it's almost, it's the strangest onesie I've ever seen. It's parachute pants for the bottom and almost like a tank top on the top. But instead of a tank top that covers the sides, it's literally like a strip of fabric going right up the middle of his chest. So you still see his two nips on the side.
How did you feel about his stomach? since we get to see king hippos all the time, like I wondered how, I was like, oh, some more exposure for Josh to enjoy on Prince Plenty.
King hippos here. Nips look like, you know, like erect blueberries or something like that, like, because he's got blue skin, so we're going with that. He's got like a bluish purple skin. They kind of remind me of blueberries, though. This is going to be something that we just compare all the male nipples in this show. Like, what's Donkey Kong's? Like Hershey Kisses?
I think that's gonna be our, like, our final episode when we do all this. Okay, it's time to compare
rank the nips.
Captain Nips. That's what the N stands for this whole time.
Captain Nips, the breast master. I don't know if I should leave that in or not.
You have to know.
I kind of, I think I will. Oh my gosh. This episode is nuts. Like we were saying, like, it's weird that we went through this as quick as we did, because the story is, it's very straightforward. And as much as there's a lot of weird stuff, it's almost all visually weird, which is, like, unless you want us to try to painstakingly describe every single visual element, which I don't think would be fun.
This for might most be, listeners. You know, this, I don't think this is my favorite episode by any means, but this might be one of the first episodes where I really have to implore the listeners that when you listen to us, like, you really should watch this one to get the full effect. Hopefully
that.
People are watching with us anyway, but if you haven't, don't skip this one. Definitely watch this one, because it is very visually, although audio wise, like, yeah, same thing with Mother Brain's performance, Levi Stubbs, like, you can't miss it. Like, I'm thinking back to the early 2000s when people would make the soundboards of, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger and do prank calls, like, like, put down the cookie, like,
there is no bathroom.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
But they can make a Mother Brain one of this.
I can do a pretty decent Arnold impression, but I'd have to do it loud and my kid's asleep in the next room. So I'd rather not wake her up by doing an Arnold impression.
For the sake of comedy. Yeah.
What are you talking about? I can't do it. It's so hard to do quietly. This episode, I agree with you. Like, people really need to see it to believe it. I know that it's just, there's so much strange about this between the monkeys with their hair and the hats and then,
the Viking helmet. Like, where did that monkey get the Viking helmet?
Where did the monkey get blonde hair and curlers? I don't understand. So between the jet ski islands, it's like one of the most visually interesting episodes I've seen on this show. And also the music's really, really good. The music that King Hippo, during the scene where King Hippo throws the coconut and it lands on, and it kind of turns on the device for the first time, the brain swap for the first time, was surprisingly good. Like, really, really good. It didn't really fit the scene all that well. Like, it, let me put it this way. It fit the scene, but tonally it sounds very serious, and the scene is not serious because it's King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. It just, I don't know. I loved it, but it didn't quite fit at the same time. It worked.
I've got it on in the background too, like watching it again without sound and watching when Simon does fall with the whip after having it way too extended. He's falling after, like, bouncing, and then it cuts to him hitting the ground, and then it cuts to him being wrapped up in the whip. But I was like, That seems excessive. Like, how did he hit the ground? Like, did he hit the ground and then get tied up, or did it tie up off screen? Just watch this episode, everybody.
I think that's where we kind of have to leave it. Like, a lot of times I list these episodes as minis, but they're still like an hour long. This one actually might be officially an actual mini episode. And it's not like we rushed through it. Like, sometimes we've had episodes where we had to rush through because of time constraints, but like this one, we didn't have any time constraint, but it's almost all visuals that are the most interesting, because the story is so, it feels like the story in every other one is very convoluted, so we have to go through a lot of times to explain the plot. This one, it's just the, you know, Mother Brain is jealous of Lana for getting a royal welcome. She wants to swap places with her. Something, Dr. Wily creates a machine to do so. Something goes wrong, and Mother Brain, Game Boy, and Donkey Kong all swap bodies. They have to bring everyone back together. The N-Team has to bring them all back together, re-swap the bodies, and then the episode pretty much ends with Simon getting carted off by the monkey family that we mentioned before, because they've accepted him as their leader.
Yes, which I'm realizing now is a callback to the beginning when Simon's like, oh, this is what it's like to be a ruler, is for everyone to just love you. So maybe there's your answer.
Oh, that's actually kind of smart.
But yeah, I thought that was weird too. I was like, did Simon say something when he met the monkeys before that made them be like, you're our leader now? Or was it really just that random?
That, I honestly, that might be it. I kind of see that. I was not expecting them to bring that back. It's one of those things where it feels like they just cut out a whole bunch, because there's a whole bunch of callbacks, and Lana clearly is showing her leadership in this episode. Like, she leads everyone in this episode. She handles Donkey Kong on her own. Kevin's like, are you sure you can handle it? She's like, oh, I know how to handle Donkey Kong. Like, she's confident and she never needs saving. Like, she escapes on her own every time. Like, it's, I remember last season we were talking about how Lana used to have so much agency and then they just kind of turned her into a damsel in distress. This one, they brought her back to be more of a, like, she's not a damsel in distress. She plans out everything. She escapes from Donkey Kong on her own. She doesn't need anyone to save her. She's just stalling Donkey Kong / Mother Brain so till everyone can be reconvened. And honestly, it kind of works. Like, she's a much more interesting character in this episode, even with all the stuff cut out. That's my final thought though. Dexter, what about you? Final thoughts for this episode.
Yeah, like, I think it didn't leave a huge impact on me as far as like, oh, this one's going to have to be in my top five, you know?
Yeah.
But it also still, like, I didn't hate it. It still had all of the things that I've always enjoyed about the show. Kind of the zany antics. There were still some video game references in there. We had our catchphrase, what a concept. But, you know, like, it kind of checked all the boxes, but it didn't do it in, there was nothing about it that seemed totally extraordinary. And maybe that's just because it is such an overdone plot of let's swap some bodies of characters and hijinks ensue, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Let's take a couple minutes to build, to fulfill a promise that I made in the first episode of us recording.
Oh, yes, I forgot about
Captain N team. let's make a Captain N team. Who would be a good Simon for a Captain?
For those who don't remember, for those who have not been listening the whole way through, understandable. It's Captain N. I don't blame you. And you want to torture yourselves like we are. But actually, this isn't torture. This is so much fun for us. Yes. But in the first episode of the podcast, when we started, not of the podcast, of the Captain N series, when Dexter and I started this, Dexter was going to do a different, like an alternative Captain N team each time. So, like, instead of Simon Belmont, maybe it would be
Solid Snake.
Yeah. You know, like, what's another video? Like, if you could replace these video game characters on this N team with a new set of video game characters, what video game characters would you choose? And he was going to choose one for each episode, which, in all honesty, I don't think you would have been able to keep up for like as many episodes as we did, even though you forgot after the first one. I think even if you didn't, you would have run out of ideas.
Yes.
Maybe not. There's a lot of video game characters out there.
There are. I'm going to say Solid Snake for my Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And for, I think, I feel like Ratchet and Clank, just because I know you're a big Ratchet and Clank fan, they might have to be the new Mega Man and Kid Icarus.
I could see that. Mega Man would be Clank and Ratchet would be Kid Icarus. So Kid Icarus is a lot more annoying than Ratchet is, but I can dig that.
And That's it for the main characters, right? For the end team? Because Princess Lana and Kevin and Duke are...
Oh, yeah, Kevin. Actually, yeah, you're right. That's pretty much it for the end team. So maybe it wouldn't be that hard, unless you're trying to swap out King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard and Mother Brain.
Yeah, Mother Brain, let's say Andross.
Uncle Andross!
I failed you. God, the sound clips from that game. They
are amazing.
As the kids say, they live rent-free in my brain. The kids still say that, right? I think the kids still say that.
Living rent free in my brain. Yeah. I don't know if kids still say it, but I do still see it.
As a teacher, even for college students, I have them every once in a while refresh me on what the kids are saying.
I don't know enough of the current lingo. Wait, did you come up with to swap out everyone for Eggplant Wizard, King Hippo, and?
King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, I did not. Let's say, yeah, definitely Andross for Mother Brain, and we'll say
Uncle Andross. It's gonna be like the new Kevin thing. It's gonna be like the new Kevin thing. Every time someone says Andross, I go Uncle Andross, and in like increasingly nasal tones, Uncle Andross. Something like that.
Game I can think of.
Biggs and Wedge.
I would say Biggs and Wedge. Yeah. I was going to say the Grunt from Halo, maybe for one of them. And because I'm trying to give love to all the different consoles, not just Nintendo here. What's another good, like, hench creature character?
I'm really worried.
Maybe someone from, maybe a Bobo from Double Dragon.
That would be good for King Hippo.
Yeah.
That'd be very good for King Hippo.
There we go. There's your Captain N to kind of give the listeners some bang for their buck here.
All right. So that's your end team. I don't think I could, I don't know what mine would be, but that will do it for this episode of Still Loading. Thank you all so much for listening. This was a little bit shorter of a, I mean, it is a mini episode though, to be fair. The still loading minis are generally, there's only one a month now and it's only Captain N, because they only last about 40 minutes to an hour. But this has been one of the shortest ones we've had in quite some time. But I, like we've said a bunch of times, you need to see this episode. I think it's worth watching. But with all that said, Dexter, where can the good people find you online?
Yeah, everyone can find me where you can type in my name, Instagram, Twitter, Dexter. It's the first name. And the last name is Morrill. Doesn't look like it, but it's pronounced moral. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, sharing stuff occasionally, video game stuff, history stuff, and my drawings.
All right. And as usual for me, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Still Loading Pod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do that in a number of ways. You can give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, because that helps more people find the show and it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. If you want to support the show monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. For just $1 a month, you'll get all the episodes a few days early at a higher bitrate, as well as access to a patron-exclusive Discord. You can also support the show at a $5 level, which will give you all of that, plus 2 extra bonus episodes a month. At the time of this recording, the most recent bonus episode, I did a retro magazine review where I looked at an issue of the official PlayStation magazine from October 2000, and there's a lot of talk about PlayStation 2 because it had just relaunched like that month. What's interesting though is it's October 2000, right? But you would think that the PS2 would be like front and center of this issue, but it's not. It's Star Wars. It's like the Naboo Starfighter game, and I don't know why. You would think that the PS2 would be like the big thing because it came out that month of that year, but whatever. I don't even know. So yes, you could go check that out. And the retro magazine reviews, I pretty much just kind of look through and just kind of make fun of some of the stuff. I talk about some of the things that are interesting, what people thought, like what journalists thought gaming would go towards. Like, I mean, this is 22 years prior. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, that will do it for me. But the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to go support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that is all we have for you this afternoon, today, this evening, whenever you are listening to this episode, this morning. Thank you all for listening. Dexter, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. And we'll think of you as the next time we play video games, right?
I keep forgetting that's our closer for this. Yes, we will think of you the next time we play video games.
Bye.